It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. News today that about 60 black high school students from Dallas say they were taunted with racial slurs during a visit to Texas A&M University this week. The kids from Uplift Hampton Prep were touring the College Station campus on Tuesday. Two of them said they were approached by a white woman wearing Confederate flag earrings. And a group of white students began harassing the Dallas high schoolers, telling them to, quote, go back to where you came from, end quote. Campus police were called. The Texas Tribune reports no one was charged. A&M President Michael Young said in a statement that he's outraged and that the school is investigating. An Uplift spokeswoman issued this statement.
We are proud of our scholars for the grace and composure with which they responded to the college students who chose to engage in a disrespectful and unacceptable manner. While we appreciate the swift response of the Texas A&M leadership, it is my hope that we broaden the conversation at colleges locally and across the country about increasing inclusion and cultural awareness programs so that all students can feel safe and welcome regardless of their ethnicity.
State Senator Royce West of Dallas calls the incident disturbing. His district includes the campus, part of the Uplift Charter School organization. Going to school in the University of Texas system is about to get more expensive. Gus Contreras reports on tuition hikes that the UT Regents will consider later this month.
The UT system is proposing tuition and fee increases of between 2 and 6.4% for resident undergraduate students. Officials say the increases would help to retain faculty, improve student performance, and provide essential services. UT Chancellor Bill McRaven says he wants to keep campuses competitive.
The fact is, you know, we fall well below our peers in terms of national rankings of our flagship, our emerging research universities, and our comprehensive universities. The fact is, most of our tuition and fees are at or well below the national average. The fact is, the tuition and fees are the single greatest driver for revenue. The fact is, state appropriations continue to decline. Although a small bump last year, it was important, and we appreciate that from the legislature. The fact of the matter is, that still doesn't keep pace with inflation.
Students would pay $74 more per semester at UT Rio Grande Valley. In North Texas, students would pay $162 more per semester at UT Arlington. And at UT Dallas, it would be $393 more. UT Austin would face a hike of $152 per semester. Officials say in-state tuition undergraduate students have seen little to no increase in tuition since 2012. McRaven says low-income students would still get grants and institutional support. The UT System Board of Regents is expected to hold a meeting later this month to consider a tuition and fee hike. For KERA News, I'm Gus Contreras.
The Frisco School District made headlines this week when it approved an apparel contract with Nike worth $1.74 million. Nike will be the sole supplier of uniforms and equipment for middle and high school sports in Frisco. This is just the latest school district to sign with a shoe company. In November, Mansfield announced a deal with Under Armour. Greg Bennett is director of the Center for Sport Management, Research and Education at Texas A&M. He talked with David Brown of Texas Standard, the public radio news magazine.
Everybody loves Texas high school football, and it's a big deal in every community, not just Frisco or Mansfield or any of the other ones that are, you know, doing this. And I think any communities basically has a relationship with one of those brands to the point where they are, all of them are benefiting, regardless if they're the perennial best program or whatever.
The apparel deal doesn't just help the school district, according to Bennett.
Nike actually benefits greatly by this, whether it's image enhancement because the kids, you know, are wearing their jerseys and that swoosh is on every one of the jerseys. There's awareness. It's a lot of people in a very large community that have, you know, the kids are wearing the uniform, but the parents buy that. They want the same particular brand.
This fall, Frisco football teams wear their new Nike uniforms in a brand new home, the state's first domed high school venue, which will also be the new practice home of the Dallas Cowboys. Millennials are the largest generation in American history, and politicians are battling for their votes. Yet we don't know a lot about their voting habits. Alexander Hefner has studied that generation. He's host of the PBS series The Open Mind, and he stopped by KERA Studios on his way to UNT in Denton, where he's speaking tonight about the millennial vote. Alexander Hefner, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Justin.
First of all, who's considered a millennial?
Well, I like to think of millennials as people who came of age in this new century or millennium. There are some technical specifications, born X year through Y year, but I prefer this idea that these are young people who came of age during the internet revolution and that transformation from analog to digital.
You're a millennial, right?
I am an old soul millennial. I'm sort of the tail end, very far from the Gen Zers.
Millennials, they've been through a lot. Skyrocketing college loans, a recession that affects their job prospects. But what are millennials most concerned about?
If you ask millennials on a college campus, and I think the results supporting Senator Sanders testify to this, college debt, credit card debt, and just the extraordinary amount of burden, financial burden, that young people are experiencing today.
They've been a force behind social movements like Black Lives Matter and Occupy Wall Street. Why aren't they taking that passion to the polls?
This is my third election cycle covering the millennial vote. And I have to say that that remains the question mark. They have not translated these individual instances of dissatisfaction with the status quo into a broader engagement in the political process. And so we said in 2008, then again in 2012, now in 2016, when will the eggs come home to roost on election day? And there is steady turnout in support of Senator Sanders, but don't let him exaggerate the extent to which young people are turning out for him quite yet. In fact, it's, I think, a frightening prospect for the Democrats that in these early primary and caucus contests, it's the Republicans who are generating that outpouring of enthusiasm among the electorate.
How do millennial voters compare to other generations in the years past?
Well, it depends on the election cycle. But since 18-year-olds got the right to vote in the 70s, and that was sanctioned in the Constitution, young people have disappointed at the ballot box. The exceptions to that were in the culmination of Vietnam protests and then later with President Clinton and then President Obama. There was an uptick in enthusiasm.
Are millennials flocking to any particular political party?
Well, not so far in this cycle. I think that there is a misreading that millennials are opposed to the bellicosity of Donald Trump. If young people were really that angry with his xenophobia, homophobia, bigotry, whatever you want to say, I think there would have been many more protests and that there would have been a grassroots movement that was really motivated, its MO, designed to kill off his candidacy.
Millennials, obviously, they have very strong viewpoints and they're very good at expressing them on social media. So, I mean, how do politicians get them to the polls?
This country is going to have a debate about whether we transfer the human potential of our democracy into the virtual space, that is the internet. And there is e-commerce, but there's not e-democracy, really.
If politicians, if the government got more involved and say we had like electronic voting, an app maybe that interfaced with it, do we truly think that that would result in a higher voting turnout?
Well, I think we know we're obsessed with apps. So the answer is really an emphatic yes, because I think that the transformation of the economy has been one in which platform and the analytics governing that platform dictate what decisions are made. When the election returns come in on the television screen, there is that inherent disconnect. Whereas if you really felt that it was as clear as day on your smartphone, I think you'd have a completely different orientation towards democracy.
Alexander Heffner is host of PBS's The Open Mind, and he'll be speaking tonight at 7 at UNT. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Justin. Enjoyed it.
Also, tonight at 8, KERA-TV and radio will air the PBS NewsHour Democratic Debate. Features Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders live from Milwaukee. At 6:30, this is KERA News.